And all that is within me bless his holy name. Mighty Jehovah, we come to you. Unto you the gathering has always been, and to you and for your glory this gathering. And while we bow our hearts and minds and spirits and crowns before you, we ask you to raise our spiritual ears and our understanding, that we walk the path of faith with you, the understanding of your purposes, of revelation of yourself in your Son Jesus Christ, and the passing on of the Spirit to us through the workings of the Scriptures and the ministry of the Holy Spirit with and among men, that your name be glorified. Jehovah, we thank you that you would have such mercy on mortal beings, especially mortal beings of rebellion and disobedience, who have escaped the blessings and joy of fellowship with you and have sought to establish their own. That your mercy and your faithfulness and your desire to continue to seek and find men have never been withdrawn, but they have always been made available to men. The Bible tells us that in the beginning you spoke to men by angels and animals and prophets, but in this time and this generation until the end of time, you are speaking to us by your Son Jesus Christ. And so we exalt him tonight in a special way. Jehovah, have your way. Jesus, take your seat. People of God, behold your Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Oh, bless the Lord. I haven't heard you. Amen. We want to thank God for this gracious time. We have been on these grounds, I remember, since 1976. And from this place, many things have taken place. Many people have been saved, discipled, and sent on mission throughout the world from this very place and this very podium. And tonight it has pleased the Lord at this end year Bible Revival School to bring back to us the beginning of beginnings, the explanation, the meaning and significance of salvation, and our relationship with Him, the Creator, and our future in our faith, in the faith, our hope in Christ and the faith, and our joys in the salvation that He brings to us. Tonight we want to give thanks and praise to God for His mercies and wonderful works that have kept Ghana compact together during the Jubilee year, which comes to an end, indeed a majestic end, in a few days from now. Our gathering here is a gathering, as I said earlier, unto God. We have gathered here as citizens of Ghana. We have also gathered as believers in God to celebrate God and His Christ on behalf of the nation and government and peoples of Ghana. And of course, on our own behalf. The Believers' Convention is a token and affirmation of our thanks for and gratitude to God for Christ and the Christian faith, which have been the bulwark and machinery for the liberation and redemption of our country, Ghana, from slavery and condemnation to sin, death and desolation, the captivity to the reign and rule of Satan and man's kingdom order, and above all, the eternal lasting wrath of God against disobedience and sin. Beloved, Ghana is spiritually, politically, and socially free from the tentacles of the Satan man kingdom order due to the trust in God and recourse to the reconciliation of the country with God through faith in Jesus Christ and the Christian faith that brings life, liberty, and joy and hope to believers in the salvation and worship of God, the Creator. We are here for a three-day Bible revival school. It's a celebration of God and the Christian faith. But we also consider it as a Bible revival school for Christians as well as for those who are seeking to know God and for all believers in God, that they might know the way, the truth, the life, and the hope that is in Jesus Christ, or for that matter, the salvation that God has established in Jesus Christ. We have gathered here as a token of the sincerity and confidence of the people of Ghana in God, Christ, and the faith. And we are devoting the 3 days of the Jubilee Year End Believers Convention to an open Bible cum revival school for the benefit of Christians in Ghana, as I said, and for all believers in the Most High God and all seekers of God. We call it school because it may be more of a teaching session than ministration. And it is necessary that we pay attention strictly to the thing that the Holy Spirit will teach us these few days, because there's so much departure from the truth of the scriptures. There's so much departure from the salvation that God has brought in Jesus Christ and the scriptures. There's so much diversion of the blessings of God inherent in salvation by unbelievers, as well as the Antichrist, false prophets, false teachers, and people who have converted the faith into a human institution or a human machine for the pacification and glorification of man in the state of hopelessness and eagerness to establish his own ego and kingdoms and glory on earth. All over the world, there are many people that have ceased, even in Europe and sadly even in America. They have ceased to believe in a creator. The concept of evolution has taken over even some thinkers in the Christian faith in the church. That to the extent that the Bible has become one of the books that people might read and not the guiding plumb line, not a spirit power, a gift of God, and not a presentation of God himself unto mankind through the pages of the prophetic utterances of God's prophets and Jesus Christ himself. Beloved, we are in a world beset not merely with sin. We are well beset, no, but not merely with departure from truth and liberty that is in God and hope that is in the salvation of God, but we are witnessing a world that is attempting to build mansions, kingdoms, empires on the sinking sand of man's philosophy and also on the wicked works of Satan, the deceiver, who have been a deceiver and a liar from the beginning. Said that even in the church today, you have men that are using satanic power, as it were, to entice men to believe that they have a message of salvation. We have men that have believed in the thinking of men, philosophies of men, who are dependent upon scientific discoveries, rather than the creator who said the scientific, the thing that they are discovering in motion in the first place. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that they have believed in the creation rather than the creator. And every day they are still seeking to know the dynamics and the virtues of nature. And as they begin to find out the dynamics and virtues of nature, they want to believe that their findings is greater than one who set the thing in motion. The Bible says, can the one who created eyes not see? I was telling the church last Sunday that if God created all things, the scientists are only finding that which has already is already existing. And they are not setting anything in motion. They are only finding what already exists. And if a man finds what already exists, then he makes himself the creator of that which already exists. And he wants to deceive himself that he's a creator. Or he wants to believe that that which he has found is complete and absolute himself, said that the creator who set the thing in motion either is blind and does not know it, and therefore they don't deserve to be honored, or that the creator is indifferent as to how they put his creation into use, or for that matter, his findings become the cardinal truth and the be-all and end-all for the human enterprise. Of course, that is not merely sin, that's not merely wickedness, but it's utter foolishness. And the foolishness of men are being pitted against the wisdom of God. But the foolishness of God is higher than the wisdom of men. Praise the Lord. So in these few days, we are going to discuss the place of God and Christ, the scriptures, and the hope that God has brought us through faith in Him, that is, in His Son, Jesus Christ. Beloved, the school is to help us in the study of scriptures, in our attempt to find the meaning and significance of the faith and the hope of glory in Christ the Savior, the Redeemer, King, and God's kingdom glory for the individual, for nations, and then for peoples, and the world at large. In this 3-day visitation to the Bible, beloved, we want to seek to understand the faith. We want to redetermine and redefine our connection with Christ Jesus, the truth of the Christian faith, and the significance of the faith in our life, and the life and destiny of nations in this context of our nation, Ghana, and of Africa. Indeed, as the Bible declares, there's no name and there's no person to trust for the reconciliation and restoration of glory to peoples and nations except the name Jesus Christ. Our theme for discussion this 3 days shall be the Christian faith and you. So as you hear me, as you commune in your heart with the Holy Spirit, as you go back home and say the scriptures and wait upon God in your knees, please remember that the address here is basically for the whole nation and for humanity. But you are the center of the address because it is you who have accepted the invitation to be here. And in the end, it will still be you that God will send to help to nullify the wicked works of men and the satanic ploys of deception and destruction that is rampant in our age and generation and in the world of this day. Therefore, you are not here just to learn for yourself, but you are here also to learn to be a disciple, a servant, and a missionary, that you might spread the good news of salvation. For the Bible says, greater love has no man than that he shall lay down his life for his brethren. And therefore, as you are here, it is not a selfish motivation, but it is an opportunity for you to be empowered with the truth of the gospel, the anointing that comes from the scriptures and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that you will be an instrument of redemption, you will be an instrument of restoration, you will be an instrument of reordering of human society you be an instrument for the establishment of the kingdom of God and the glory of God in the affairs of men. If you say amen, clap for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I say you want to redefine your connection with Christ. You want to redefine your connection with the truth of the scriptures. And you want to define, find out the significance of the truth to your life. And for that matter, the life and destiny of our nation. I'm happy that you have warmly agreed to accept the proposition that it is not merely for your personal salvation, but that you will be an instrument of the spread of the gospel and the dissemination and spread of the beauty and glory of God in the affairs of men. And the first topic we'll take tonight is the meaning and significance of salvation. The meaning and significance of salvation. Tomorrow we shall be discussing the faith and glory of the faith. And on Saturday we'll take up the joy and hope in the faith. Now let's begin with the beginning. The meaning and significance of salvation. The Christian faith, according to the scriptures, is built around the spirit person of Jesus Christ. I said the Christian faith, according to the scriptures, is built around the spirit person of Jesus Christ. The truth of the word of God or the scriptures and the worship of God through faith in Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Christian faith, let me repeat, is built upon the spirit person of Jesus Christ. The truth of the word of God or the scriptures and the worship of God through faith in Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which edifice or which body, that is Christ, the scriptures, the worship of God, the truth of the scripture, the worship of God, through faith in Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, this constitutes a body of, or a belief system, which the Holy God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have agreed to convey and establish for the benefit of men, nations, and peoples through God's holy men, the apostles and prophets, that he chose for the purpose. That is to say, the Bible declares in this direction that the foundation of the church, and for that matter, the Christian faith, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2 and 20. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. The church is presented by the Bible, therefore, as the body, we normally say body of Christ, but I'm putting it this way, as the body of believers in God, through faith in Christ. The church is a body of believers in God, through faith in Christ, who are born anew, not by the blood, nor the will and flesh of man, but by the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ. If we talk about the church being the body of Christ, we are referring to a group of people who believe in God first. They believe that there is God. And they have found out through the scriptures, as they proclaim, that this God has manifested at the entire world in Jesus Christ, and have believed the truth of the manifestation of God in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. And having believed that, have received into their being the Spirit of Christ, by which therefore the Bible describes them as being born again. There are people who walk not according to the flesh, that is, according to human imagination, human will, or the genetical arrangement, transitional system of a father to a child through the blood of man. No! All men that are not born again cannot be children of God. They are creation of God, yes. But only those who are born again by receiving, believing in God, receiving the gift of God, that is the Spirit, in the Spirit of Christ, manifest, and have received that Spirit, that is the gift of the Son, into themselves, and therefore are connected to the tree of life of the Creator Himself through that connection. This constitutes the believers or the body of Christ. And you cannot inherit, or you cannot be transformed or repositioned as a child of God or a believer in God by mere acceptance of theories or philosophies, but by actual receiving of this seed of the divine person, Jesus the Christ. So you need to believe in God. You need to accept the testimony of God about the Son, that he manifested himself in the Son, for great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. If you believe this, hallelujah, hallelujah, then you would have, having so believed, you would have received the Spirit of Christ into you. If you believe and you don't invite Christ into you, if you believe intellectually, if you believe by building statues and pictures, and you are carrying a long cross around your neck and your body, and you have an altar with stones and jewels and candles and lavenders and all kinds of things on it. But this person, if you believe by studying all the Bible and passing every examination and quoting from every page of the scriptures, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:0 and yet, the Christ who is the subject of discussion or revelation in the scriptures has not come into your heart, you remain a creature. And you cannot be termed as a child of God, and you do not belong to the body of Christ or body of believers. Praise the Lord. So we are saying that the body of believers in God through faith in Christ, who are born again, not by the blood or the will and flesh of man, but by the Spirit of God or Christ, these are the people that can truly say that they are not only believers, but what? Sons and daughters of the Most High. And that puts them in a different direction, position as human beings. The Bible describes them as second Adam persons. People who have been taken out of the old first Adam system, regenerated and created anew, hallelujah, through the indwelling, the Christ Spirit that comes to indwell them and made them separate and apart from the rest of humanity. These are the believers. These are the Christians. If you are hearing me, wherever you are hearing me, can you know? No, here you are. No, you are so more. no ya wanta ngo no ya hego fe no ya no ko hego nyongo yo o ya wula maasia o ya ogofonsi sia o ya profeto koliko sia no ya odifo mene odafo ne mene no ka chai katai ya no gbo china no ka lo te iso ya di bodi jako la ha no fio ni vien alo o believer no ko skita no ka mo kwe no tere wojie fe no mani ya he si mo kristo bo mile no la je nyongwa bi jibo e tom. Hallelujah. This body of believers or the church born through faith in Christ are described as a spiritual building or temple for the habitation of God through the Spirit or the Spirit of Christ among men. You find that in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. You study Ephesians chapters 1 and 2 clearly. You see the position of Jesus Christ vis-a-vis the church and God's divine purposes. And they said the church is the habitation of God through the Spirit among men. Hallelujah. Entry into the body of believers or in Christ is certified through faith in the person, teachings, and works of Jesus Christ. We are saying that if you are born again, it will be necessary in the first place to have believed in Jesus Christ, his person. Number two, you would have accepted his teachings, which are recorded in the Bible, and the works that he did whilst on earth, and which he continues to do through the body of believers today. If you believe that, then you can consider yourself as belonging to the body of believers or the church. The center and most significant teaching on Christ is repentance. Jesus Christ, the first and most important teaching by Jesus Christ is repentance. And they will say repentance towards God and faith in whom? Jesus Christ. The crucial work of Jesus Christ is the crucifixion and death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead unto eternal glory as Savior, Judge, Redeemer, King of glory in things pertaining to God. We are saying that Jesus Christ, his Spirit, his teachings, and his works are the three cardinal points of the Christian faith. Faith in Christ, faith in his teachings, and faith in his works. Among his teachings is repentance, the preaching of repentance through faith, trust in God, and faith towards him. Then there are crucial works. If you believe his person, that Jesus Christ is a spirit, is a divine spirit. Bottom one. Number two, his teachings. And the cardinal issue in the teaching is that there's need for repentance of man towards God. And if you need the you agree on repentance of man towards God and therefore reconciliation with God, then you also consider his works. And the chief work is that he allowed himself to be crucified, to shed his blood on the cross, was crucified, he died, he was buried, and the Bible says what? He rose again. You will have to accept these tenets, this cardinal point or pillars of the faith, namely the cross, the significance of the blood redemption, the blood shed on Calvary cross. If you don't accept the blood shed on Calvary cross as sufficient for you, and you want to offer another blood or do some other work, the Bible suggests strongly that those other works will not be accepted. But salvation is by grace through faith, not of works. And the works that are accepted is those done by Jesus Christ himself on the cross and his resurrection. If you believe in that, the important point of his crucifixion on the cross and his death and resurrection unto eternal glory as Savior, Redeemer, a Justifier and King of glory, in things pertaining to God, you are a Christian. Now, what is the divine package of salvation? I have here the divine salvation package. Having stated the few conditions to be fulfilled to be a child of God or to be a Christian, we state that believe in acceptance and confession of faith in Christ, his teachings and the purposes for his death on the cross, and the reality of his resurrection from the dead constitutes the divine package of salvation for souls, for peoples, and for nations. For the individual, you have to accept not only Jesus Christ as Savior, as such. You have to accept that he died on the cross for yourself or on your behalf. Hallelujah. And you have to accept that there is need for what? Repentance of your sin and your negligence or disobedience of God as a condition for the salvation of your soul. And if you accept the blood on your own behalf, and you confess Christ as your Savior and Redeemer, then you will be accepted, and the Spirit of Christ will then follow your faith into you. Hallelujah. Then your salvation will be clear. So God has made presented a package in faith in Jesus Christ as a person, divine person that became man, faith in his teachings and works, and the reality of his resurrection from the dead. If this is a package that you need to believe in, so that your soul can be redeemed. The Bible says that will help you, will make way for the remission of your sins. For if he died on the tree for you, and he made the blood atonement for you, then you confess him, your sins shall be remitted or forgiven, and they shall not be accountable to you anymore. So the Bible says you would have passed from death unto life. In other words, you would have passed from the condemnation that follows sin and wickedness, and the fact that you have been eternally separated from God. God will open the door of reconciliation unto you. He will draw you unto himself. He will cleanse you by the blood, and he will open fellowship with you. The fellowship that was lost in the Garden of Eden shall come to you. But we are saying that this proposition of salvation package, and listen to me, brethren, the salvation package should not be thought only in terms of the individual Christian or the individual believer. This salvation package can be believed and accepted by a whole family, a whole community, a whole nation. So a family, a community, and a nation that will accept the package will come under the mercy of God. We come under the salvation and mercy and blessed hope that is in Jesus Christ. So don't think of salvation only as a proposition for an individual. Yes, it's for you as an individual. But through you, it can be transmitted to your family. It can be transmitted to your community. It can be transmitted to your what? Your nation. So a whole nation can be a Christian nation. And a nation can then be the body of believers or the church. I want to suggest tonight that the salvation should not be looked only in terms of the individual believer, but it's a community belief. It can be a belief system of Ghanaians as a whole. It shall be the belief system of Africans. And when this becomes the belief system and the practice of Ghanaians, then the whole nation comes under the mercy seat of God and the salvation and hope that is through faith in whom? Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Believe in acceptance and confession of faith in Christ, his teachings, the purpose for his death on the cross, and the reality of his resurrection from the dead constitute the divine package of salvation for souls, for peoples and nations. Through faith, peoples and nations can be reconciled unto God. The Bible says that God was manifest in Christ that he might reconcile the world unto himself. So we are suggesting here that the salvation message of God in Christ, as I said earlier, it's available to what? Nations, peoples, the whole world. So it is not a proposition for you alone, but through you to your whole household, your nation, your race, and your people. Amen. The key is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verses 17 through 19, tells you that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So faith in Christ leads to reconciliation of peoples. That the wrath of God that abides on people who worship Satan or neglect God can be cancelled. Just as the wrath of God that abides on me or you and him, when you have no knowledge of God and you worship the idols, just as you will have salvation, your nation and your people can also come under the same salvation if the whole nation accepts the salvation package of the Most High God. Hallelujah. So it is God wish to reconcile the whole world. The salvation of God is not an individual matter. It's a world, it's a global and human matter. Amen. It's addressed to the whole of humanity. It's addressed to all nations. Hallelujah. And this mission has been committed to the church. That's why I say that as you are sitting down here, you should not be just happy in your own personal salvation, but accept the responsibility of being an instrument of reconciliation, change, and kingdom mission in society. Amen. The key scripture of salvation is given as follows, and we all know it. Let us say it together. For God so loved the world. That word. He gave his only begotten son. That word, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever, whichever person, whichever family, whichever community, whichever tribe, whichever people, whichever continent, whichever human race shall not what? Perish. But have what? Eternal life. We'll come to understand what is eternal life very soon. But it is important for you to know that there's eternal life anyway. From the brief discussion above, the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, and the Apostle Paul were led by the Holy Spirit to declare as follows. And here I quote, therefore, let all the household of Israel know that God has made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and what? And Christ. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 and 38. Then Peter also was quoted as saying in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. Hallelujah. There's no other word. Where? Where? Where?
under heaven.
Hallelujah.
A din biya ni ho. Na tumi biya ni ho. A okwan biya ni ho. Eba mani panyan kwanje. Jis a din bakon kronara. And he say, Yesu Christo. You are seya, ya woyi. E was as I say is. Who crocon shokokoni catches say, a din biya ni ho. It is what he mean catch them, say, say, obi say, Oji Muhammad Dia. Ala Odi Agboso Dia. Odi Akonodi Kum Dia. Odi Nak what? Nai Dia. Ana Odi Susumbi Dia. Sa Onindui Bi. Yefanu Arara Ororo. Ozuza or whatever it is.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I say, din biere ni ho. Ni kwan biere ni ho. I want asaseye so. Ah, ya be faswa ya den. Ama nipanya da ya den. Nkwan. SND back den. Bako, any side in him. Yesu, Christo. Iti wu kati me kache me say. So, obi sumbusum. No be a Buddhist. No be a Hinduist. No be a Baha'i. No be a this. Obi agbozois, obi adiasa, onusu owo kwaso konya meme, udi atro, udada ohu. Ya nkese, ya indi nine ye, na chokose, onu kwa. Mister, onu kwa. Ufa, uko slow, onu kwa. Uba sasease, onu kwa. Una wimo onunkwa uwo mpumu onunkwa be biara uwo oyade uko asama se ede bodi ba konse dimi se Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. There's no other name. And so that don't be deceived by religious people. Don't be deceived by those who don't know Jesus Christ. Don't be deceived by those who are confused about the way of salvation. Don't be confused by religious philosophers, justices, whatever religion they call themselves. Don't be confused that they too are worshipping God. If they were worshipping God, they would have known who Jesus is. Jesus told them, you said David was what? Your father. But David be a prophet while he was in the flesh. If he called Jesus whom? My Lord. On your own. Praise the Lord. Now, and then I'll say, Abraham, your wager. Hallelujah.